SEPA and the member community is going to be taking Ketchikan into consideration when we are burning diesel during those times. So I mean, I appreciate that it's a super historic year that we've had such low levels, and even now we're sitting there looking at the weather, wondering what's going to happen. But when we have predictions of saying 30% below average, 50% below average, where do we go from here from Ketchikan's perspective? And we're talking about additional sales of that water. And I can appreciate that the northern communities are burning diesel now, and it is an extraordinary burden on your ratepayers, because it's not something that you have planned for and or expecting to have to do, and also your infrastructure cost. But I can say from the engineering perspective here, right now we are also under extreme strain when it comes to our diesel runs. And so I fear, as the engineer here, when I hear things of saying, we're going to make those curves much more aggressive, or we're going to raise those levels and curtail much sooner, on how that puts additional strain on our community as well. So just a comment, question with regard to if overselling is a possibility, to me it would make sense that underselling is also a possibility.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Yes. One invites the other, right? And that's the problem with the reimbursement policy of diesel, is that if you're made to burn diesel and it doesn't end up being needed, are you then going to come to the agency? I mean, that, you know, that's the kind of the, pardon the metaphor, but that's the floodgate part, is that, you know, if we come to you and say, gee, you really should burn here, and all of a sudden, you know, our reservoirs are completely full the next month, and, you know, unprecedented water, it invites that. So it's a problem, and it's, you know, something to think about. I appreciate the point.
So I really like to move on to the discussion points. If we can start outlining those and putting them down and figuring out how we're going to manage that, because we do have a fairly full agenda still ahead of us. So, and we're probably going to be here late if we're going to even try to get through all of it. So, future management guideline discussion, 2019 operation plan. What do you guys have in mind? Anybody got something to throw up there first?
So, Bob.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, if I may. I've been patiently and quietly listening to everybody beat up on me and SEPA. I appreciate your comments. I might suggest that we defer that to another meeting to a degree, and then we've collected some talking points out of this. This is obviously something that would be integrated into the next operations plan. I think Mr. Paisner is correct that we probably need to bolster the operations plan so staff can have clear guidance on communications protocols, on lake levels, on who's in the decision process. I mean, because clearly right now I'm hearing different perspectives from all sides of the table, which are inconsistent for the most part with how we've operated for the last 6.5 years since I've been here. So I don't think we're going to get through this all the way. I would perhaps suggest staff takes the comments that were collected from today's discussion, tries to compile those into, I'll say, somewhat of a recommendations list and suggestions, and then that would give the board something to work on further, to add to and delete. It would give us a starting point.
So that information would be disseminated back to the communities for other input? That would be the...
So I think
once you
this, is a, this is a board meeting.
Yeah, I know.
And I would be reporting back to the board.
Yeah.
I would suggest that the board and their utility representatives maybe talk in-house a little bit and be prepared at that time to bring some suggestions forward to add to that list, or maybe just to verify that they will carry it over onto the list.
Carl?
In addition to what Trey is requesting, if we're going to undertake that kind of review, I would ask that the staff also take a look at the current ops plan in light of the fact that we're in 2 months into already a dry year, and whether we need to take another look at the ops plan and possibly amend that for the balance of this year. I'd like to hear their comments on that.
Okay. Trey, Robert, you want to?
So certainly, we're happy to do that, and we can, either, if you guys looked in the back of your board packet, we are planning on a special board meeting for a couple of other items toward the end of March. For those on the phone and some folks in the room, perhaps, the board has been meeting weekly on this. And making adjustments. I will highlight that we're in a very dynamic period right now. We wouldn't even be having this conversation if the trend would have stayed like it did when we moved into January. In the December board meeting, everything looked pretty good. I mean, we had good inflows coming in January, and then the weather flip-flopped again. So we're in a very short window here for 6 to 8 weeks, perhaps, as the weather starts to change and we start to see inflows. And perhaps I think the overall ops plan we're dealing with, I guess my point is, Carl, that we're dealing with that on a weekly basis now as much as we can, because we want to stay nimble and be able to adjust on the fly. Were you looking for something more than that?
I'm just looking for you to take a look at it. Yeah, I realize we're going to get inflows, but I don't know where we're going to be precipitation-wise. Mm-hmm. And I just got a bad feeling that we may be in the same discussion come next December. And you know, the other thing I would know relative to the comments from Rangel, rightly or wrongly, relative to the ops plan, I think there was a basic expectation that Tyee would not be put in the position they were put in this year. If not for the maximized sales to the south, I don't know how that fits into the ops plan. Joel, you and I are the ones who have been around the longest relative to this group, and I've said this before. The intent of this organization was never solely for the maximization of sales. It was for the betterment of the communities, of the member utilities. And I hear the frustration from Stephen, and I understand that. And I've got my own frustration that we're trying to keep diesel units operating. I've got 2 down right now. And if I get low water and I see water going north, you know, somehow we've got to start dealing with those kinds of concerns. And I'm not going to tell you I have the answer to it, but somehow they got to be addressed.
Can I just come in quickly? So, that is the tension in the power sales agreement, right? That's just the tension, is that, you know, the opportunity at the time, and Carl, you were there when Ketchikan started building the Swan Tyee Intertie. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. It was that long ago. Okay. Maybe Ed was. I don't know. Ed probably was. Anyway, the opportunity at the time was to take advantage of the fact that every single year in, year out, Tyee spilled. And it would allow, by getting access to those sales there, it would limit or possibly eliminate diesel burns in Ketchikan, and that was a laudable goal. And it remains a goal that is driving the agency, which helps optimize sales and maximize sales. The flip side of that is that it's hard to balance, and it, you know, in a bad year, you get bad results. And so, you know, let's just hope when the water gets back in there, you know, we don't get bit again by this. And but that's the tension in the agreement, and that really, it, this really is what this board is designed to do. It really is. You need to take all this into consideration, and if the agency has been operating one way and it feels like it needs to be corrected, then that's the purview of this board and the decisions that it needs to make, and direct staff to do that.
Lisa.
I actually am pleased, very pleased, that Trey is going to pull this stuff together and the staff is going to make some recommendations to us. I'm very happy to hear that. I think that's the appropriate thing to do. But I would like to ask that we don't wait until December for that stuff. I'd like to be working this stuff throughout the year if possible, so that in December, when the ops plan comes up, we're ready to go with whatever the new policies or protocols are ahead of time. And take that into, it's already worked into the ops plan when you present it to us.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
This past December, during the board meeting, the ops plan was presented, but there was a caveat to that ops plan that stated that early spring we would have to revisit and re-present it. And Trey mentioned March 28th, sounds like a very reasonable time. The challenge with that date, as reasonable as it is we may not be out of the curtailment phase. And whether or not, what time to come out of curtailment is a question for everyone. Carl's question is, at what point can SIPO shift water from Swan Lake to the north and mitigate Petersburg and Wrangell's diesel burn? And if we wait till March 28th, that may be too late to make that decision. So, the March 28th, I think we can get the policies that we've discussed, come up with a really good idea of how to prevent this in the future, present that, and it doesn't have to be voted on. It could be voted on at a future board meeting or at a special board meeting, but it could be presented. And working with Joel to firm up some of the things that make that ensure that we have a strong package to govern by.
So, Robert, let me interject something there, though. So, I previously stated on the 28th that we will collect what we've gathered out of this meeting, put it into a concise package, and have a further discussion there. So we're not going to have the full modified operations plan at that time. But my recommendation is we continue for the board to meet weekly. If they want to be that in that level of the daily operations of the organization, and you know, that'll be 3-4 meetings, and we'll be in March.
Mr. Chair, if we may need to meet weekly because we may need to lower levels or have that discussion. If things are coming back up, or we're holding our own, or the runs are working, then I don't, that would be a decision I think that you could talk to the chair about and decide. But most definitely, because, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this before the end of this meeting, but currently we did a short sort of, we'll give you two extra feet out of Tai'i until we know, we just to make this meeting, but I'm assuming we're back onto our board approved 260 moving forward. So if we have to go lower, then we would have to talk about that. Is that not your understanding, Trey?
My understanding would be that the ops plan was amended for both projects to lower the draft limit by 2 feet. I did not hear that there was an end date on that. I think the intent was to help us get through the next meeting, but the reality is, if you look at the weather, you're going to have to lower it again, not raise it back up, because you're not going to get there before.
But before we lower it again, there would be another board meeting in order to do that.
Happen.
Well, I guess I didn't make myself really clear. I was hoping to have a further discussion. One was to understand where we were at with our diesel burn. And that's really the reason I went along with the idea, was to prevent us having to jump back online.
We're moving in.
I'll ask Lisa to weigh in on that, too.
About the lake levels?
Well. Yeah, that's fine.
I'm sorry, I wasn't clear.
No, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're moving into that next. So, no other further discussion on that. As Trey has said, they're going to pull all this information together and try to disseminate what we talked about here and put it down on paper so we can have a discussion on that and use that information to move forward.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just one last comment. My motion to reduce that to reduce it 2 foot. It was to give our communities flexibility to be able to operate, so I have the same read that Trey did, so we did not have to go back every 5 minutes or every 2 days to be able to make those adjustments. And I frankly think that our utilities have to have that flexibility in the short term, because I don't see it going back in anywhere, at least in the next 10 days.
Mr. Chair, the reason why I'm so concerned about this, Bob, is that this is our reserve. At some point we may be better off running diesels harder and maintaining that bumper there. And I think that's worth a discussion, because if we drop it 2 feet and then we drop it another 2 feet and then we're bumping up against nothing and we have to go to 4 generators or we have an issue, then we don't have the same reason Carl is saying down to, that I'm thinking the same way. We want to have that reserve between the communities. And that's why I thought this was a short-term measure to get us through, so we didn't have to come back in again.
Just a minute. Go ahead, Trey.
I've said this in the past, and I'll say it again. Looking at the lake levels where they're currently at, you're better off to burn more diesel on the front end than the back end, because if you have a machine fail, that means that you have more water in the lake to deal with that issue.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm trying to say, Bob. I thought you were looking, when we did this, I thought you were looking at it as, so we didn't have to come back this week if we had to look, for another decision on it.
Mm-hmm. And I was looking at it differently. I was figured between our ops people that we're burning, and I think they have a pretty good agreement, and they bumped it up again. And I thought we had a pretty good agreement. I figured the question is, now we just have to watch it, see what it's doing. I'm hoping that we can raise it, but we don't know yet. And so that's why I just wanted the flexibility to be there with those folks. And I have faith that both between the two communities will do the best we can, here with that. I don't want to drop it anymore if we don't have to.
So then you bet, Robert. And I think all I'm going to say is that, I'm going to say again, from Wrangell's position, we would rather bring more diesels online and preserve that 2 feet for an emergency between the two communities, or Ketchikan. I mean, I'm looking at it system-wide, and what I'm banking on, and I understand the inflows will change, but temperatures are warming, and we're starting to hopefully see loads drop a bit from heat load. But Robert, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
No, that's right.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
In our last Tuesday operations call, we discussed moving to 24 hours a day in Petersburg. We had already been implementing 24 hours a day in Wrangell. At this time, we have to operate Tai Lake 2 units at a time because of the bar loads on the system. And I can explain that afterwards, but the units are only rated to handle a certain amount of bars per unit, and there's more bars than one unit can handle. So with 2 units online, we have to operate them to a point to where they don't go into low megawatt alarms and try and shut down. And that's about a 1 to 1.5 megawatts is where you want to operate optimally to do that. Now, we saw efficiency curves for Swan Lake, Tai efficiency curves, because of the impulse machines that they are, is a whole different animal. They're a lot more flat, but they are running outside of their efficiency. That being said, if we can maintain the tie between 1 and 1.5, we're looking at between 0.1 and 0.2, a tenth and two tenths a day. If we draft at that rate, regardless of where we are now, we to the FERC limit, we have 50 days at two tenths. To, if we can get it down below that, we even add more days. So we can only burn so much, is what I'm trying to say, before we have to just shut it off.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert.
So that moves us on to the financial discussion supporting documents, the diesel protocol history. Joel, I think you're leading us off.
Oh, dear. Has everyone had a chance to review Dave Carlson's October 27, 2010 diesel protocol memo? You know, I this was really a trip down memory lane, but it was kind of interesting just that, you know, we were thinking about this back then. I think it came up around the TIE rewind, is that right? That was sort of what got us thinking about this, and that TIE was going to be offline, and all of a sudden there was, you know, a question, well, you know, what if we have to burn diesel because TIE's offline? And you know, he asked me that question to look at our supporting agreements to see how that fit in there, but I really think the supporting agreements, and I probably wasn't as articulate in saying this in response to Clay's question, but it's really a guideline. I mean, there's some guardrails on the side about what you can and can't do. Within that, there's a lot of things you can do, very few things you can't do. And I don't know if you want me to, I don't really think I'm the best person to go through the options on the diesel protocol, but ultimately, you know, there's some policy things I think, you know, this isn't legal, but there's some policy things I think you need to be careful of. I think one of them was spoken by Jeremy. It's like, it is Jeremy, right? Thank you. You know, if you're gonna reimburse folks for coming up short, are you gonna reimburse them in case you were wrong and they're long? You know, that's a policy that's implemented by this diesel protocol. And just know that Ketchikan owns approximately 50% of every dollar here. They supply it here, and the two member communities provide the other 50%. So it's always, you know, everybody's got skin in this game with SEPA. So I don't know, Trey, is there anything in particular you want me to cover on this? Or?
So I think I'll just start with, I think the main point of putting some attachments in here for the board was just to illustrate that these discussions have gone on for almost a decade. And most of the salient points